That's recording now. I can edit it later.
Okay, this is why I completely freeze up.
Oh, no, we'll just put that there and forget about it.
Keep chatting.
So, here with Fran and Flip from the Pontcanna Hub team. How are you doing?
Good. Tired.
Thank you.
Still up for the challenge.
And you've created a new website, Pontcanna Hub,
yes.
For the Pontcanna area. It started out as a kind of single issue website to support your campaign.
Yeah.
Do you just want to tell us a bit about your campaign and what's going on locally?
It was actually two campaigns that started mm-hmm. it. In the summer, just over summer holidays, there were rumours that Tesco was going to take over one of the smaller shops at the top end of Pontcanna. And then we heard from the developer that he was in talks with supermarkets, specifically Sainsbury's was mentioned.
Mm.
And that was right in the middle of the more residential part of it. And both these have come back on the agenda just before Christmas. And a lot of people were either confusing the campaigns or we wanted them to do specific actions. So we thought if we set up a website, it would enable people to have somewhere to go, which is why we called it a hub.
Mm.
Because otherwise, the other thing is that there's a lovely community feel, and then there were all these rumours sort of happening.
Yeah, the rumour mill.
We think this happening, or we know that they're definitely coming, and we're like, no. And then you sort of the councillors are very active, so it was a good place for everybody to actually capture real voices and actually what's happening. And then the flip side of that would be that you can communicate to the press and to the council and everybody like that what it's really going to be like here if they do let these supermarket chains move into what is essentially a sort of a small urban suburb.
Mm.
So that was our primary aim. And as part of that, because it's a very community-based area, there were lots of other things like the cycle routes across Boot Park and all these other things that we felt that people had been involved in, were interested in. We could actually flag those up as well because it's a website, so you can put whatever you want up there.
And the website, I mean, there's a brilliant kind of galvanising getting people to write to the
yes.
council and showing kind of objection letters to the planning permission. But it's also incredibly visual. There's a lot of kind of visual evidence of parking problems in the
yes.
site of the proposed supermarket, and there's also a video of an articulated lorry actually going down the road to illustrate what a problem daily deliveries there would be. I mean, it's just so fantastically visual, and that's quite a conscious thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah, because the 65% of people, if not more, they think maybe up to 85% of people prefer seeing things in a visual format.
Mm.
And it does, particularly with this area, where there's a lot of old character houses, but also new flats as well. But there's, you know, tree-lined streets and a park nearby that you can walk places. To suddenly see, you know, pictures of just traffic congestion and delivery vans and what it's like already. It's renowned for being a bottleneck.
Mm.
And you can describe that to somebody or the council, but physically seeing it. And as you said, you know, some of those are my photos, but a lot of people have been sending them in because I think we've become the iPhone people. Look, there's four overflowing bins here. So it's become a record. And I hope it becomes a model, you know, for other communities who feel, you know, this is our community. It's bad enough already. We've reached saturation point.
Mm.
And that's what we felt, wasn't it? That it had got to saturation point. People had had enough. We've hit like 4,200 something hits on the website. That's since the start of January. We've got to 300 and something Twitter followers without really doing a lot. We've just communicated what's been going on and people have responded. So
yeah, it's gotten quite big quite quickly.
It has. I think that's the nature of the people here, though, that they feel passionate. You feel passionate about where we live, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I've lived here for 23 years and I didn't ever think I was going to stay in Cardiff for longer than 6 months, but because because it has been such a fantastic place to live, because it combines being very close to the city centre,
mm.
fabulous park on your doorstep, easy to get out of it in every direction, and yet it's got this very sort of villagey feeling to it.
Does.
And that is pretty much, I would say, centred on the Cathedral Road shops.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the loss, the potential loss of those small businesses, which has caused a huge amount of upset. It's not just about it's going to make our individual lives much more difficult and uncomfortable. You know, I mean, that aspect relates to the people who are very close to the site, but other people from much further away who won't actually be bothered by traffic that much, who won't actually be woken by delivery vans at 6 o'clock in the morning. But they're still very, very, I would say, even more passionate about the sort of academic aspect of the whole campaign and about the sort of you know, just the erosion of the good things in a city by the giant multinational non-engaged concerns who are just, you know, they've kind of, they've destroyed the inner cities already by their out-of-town ones, and now they're sort of creeping back in to pick over the carcasses, you know, because there are all these little empty spaces now, because the rates have make it really hard for small businesses. But hey, the big boys can pay them, so they'll just have all that as well. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know, and that really upsets people, I think, quite a lot.
And I think the speed of it, that's the, you know, they've got...
And they are so unaccountable. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, you know.
They're not visible. They make it...
Yeah.
It's not visible. And we were saying that the combined skills of our team, the urban planning, you know, the knowledge of the area, the local politician support, my marketing design communications background.
It's a very tightly organised residence team behind.
Well, it's...
We haven't got a lot of
time. Because Cardiff's tiny, and there's a lot of...
But it's also
fairly kind of aware people living in quite a small...
Yeah, it's very dense,
space,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's not our first campaign. We are leading this one because it's physically across the road from us. So we obviously, you know, have a vested interest in that one. But we've also been very prominent in other campaigns. And I think this is why I was saying before that people have got to the point where it's enough now. You know, it's sort of, it seems as if there's a gap, the way that the streets are here. If they found a gap, they'll suddenly try and put something there. So you've had, you know, houses knocked down and huge amounts of flats put up there. And the council are limited in what they can reject in that they have to follow guidelines. So in each case, it's been our job to find the evidence and provide it to them and show that people feel strongly. So there's been all sorts of developments around here, starting with the one I said around the corner where the developers came in on a Saturday to cut down a tree because that would sort of stop the development going so far forwards, and somebody climbed up the tree.
And somebody else, you know, found up the tree, and Lillian tied herself, Lillian, grandmother Lillian tied herself to the railings. You know.
Somebody else.
Fabulous then, photo opportunity.
Then, but true, that's how passionate they felt. They thought, well, the only thing I can do here is to physically climb the tree. And then somebody made a big banner on the outside. And then we also had people from that campaign, the CRAG, the very first major campaign, wasn't it?
Which was Canna Residents Action Group.
Yeah, which galvanised a lot of people. And they've done it before, so we learned about how we could campaign. And because we won significant changes that they didn't knock down a very old village, a vicarage, and they weren't allowed to build just, you know, lines and lines of very small single-bedroom flats and houses. Yeah. They weren't allowed to do that. You then realised that if you did act strategically, use the resources that you had, that you might actually be able to win. Until that point, I didn't think you could win. I just thought, well, that's like, yeah, we'll sign the petition. And then we learned that it's individual letters that count. So we thought, okay, and that's what the website, as you've said, is really about, is us. It's like, come to the meeting, give us information, support us where you can, and write letters. Because that's the only way the council will see that we are not application number, blah, 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 blah.
You don't lie down and roll over for them.
No, and I think that's why the original application for this went in August. And then he came back again just before Christmas. That's a long time, with a series of reports. So he's taken us seriously.
Because we commissioned a transport planning company to write a sort of counter, not a counter report, but to look at the report.
To analyse.
To analyse, that's to analyse the developer's transport report, traffic report, I forget how it's...
Both, and transport. Yeah.
And so the chaps we were paying, you know, said, well, there's this flaw in it and that weakness in it, and then because the council saw that, they then asked the developers to do more. So, I mean, it's, you know, okay, it could just be stalling for time.
But you don't know.
It does show that we are serious and we are supported, and, you know, that we had a sort of contribution from all the supporters, and that paid for that transport survey.
And we've done it again this time. Yeah. So I think that idea that people could contribute, there is a process that you could set up and follow, which is why I was going back to that model thing. Have a community meeting, you know, 100-ish people. People make donations. You have suddenly a pot of money, £400, that you can publicise what you want people to do. And people want to do something, because we all understand, and there's a lot of people who feel passionately, but what can you actually do? I can write a letter, what else can I do? But we can do the targeted responses, which is a series of reports about things, and, like you said, make the video to show what you'd actually do. So the idea that you have funds, and then we repeated it again this time, we had a community meeting, we got more funds, and we commissioned another report, which is what's... really brought home to me is that they can write a series of reports, and I thought, gosh, that's really serious now. They've written these four reports. Yet when you analyse them, Simon, who's got that knowledge, it makes it clear that they've written, you know, it's not a particularly high-level report. The fact that one aspect of it was with the lorries going down the street, they've shown it with no cars coming the other way. I mean, that's not just Pontcanna. You know, most roads, you will get cars going the other way. So, but if the councillor's scanning a really large report, they're going to go, oh, look, but it's okay. They've shown a delivery route. Yeah, but there were no cars coming the other way. You have to have experts, and you have to have the money to pay the experts to analyse their reports. So there's a particular process. You can't, you know, writing a letter wouldn't have impacted that.
With the website, I mean, the planning committee that decides the planning application, that's on the 8th of February, isn't it?
Yes,
As far as we know, but it may go to March.
Yeah.
But you're also using it to organise a Tumpath.
Yes, we are.
and meet the neighbours Tumpath. Can you just explain what a Tumpath is?
It's dancing for the uncool. It's great, great fun, and you can do it if you're 80 or if you're 6.
Okay.
It's like a Welsh
version
of a ceilidh. You can
even do it if you're a teenage boy.
Just. Or girl. Yeah. So it's we've got a ceilidh, a Tumpath band coming. They are called a ceilidh band, actually.
Yeah, they're called a ceilidh band.
Yeah, and we're going to, there's a close community here, and you know, we've all made new friends and got to know different people through, as I was saying in the meeting, through Twitter. I got to know the lady, you know, practically across the road in the shop.
That's how we came across you, is Twitter.
Yeah. So it's, I wasn't sure of how Twitter would work, because we're all so close. But obviously, the Twitter sphere got me from here to the lady across the road, who's now donated two prizes for our raffle, and we're using the event because we don't want to profit from it. It's never been, you know, the site's an information hub, but we wanted to have something else to give back in the community and to keep the community spirit going, which we know is here. So the Woolwich is a homeless charity, which is based in Pontcanna, one of their offices is. So we're having a raffle with prizes donated by local storekeepers. So it's a really nice, you know, in the climate we're in, where it's all doom and gloom and things like that, and this has been a very hard campaign because it's the fourth one with this site, you know, compared to all the other ones as well that are going on. We thought we'd do something where we could just dance.
Something jolly, yeah.
Yeah, something dancing and people getting together in a social way. And that's something that I think we could keep going quite easily after the camp, you know, after whatever happens with this one. Because we had it with the Crag one. We had a series of the Lovely Club, lots of big events where people would come and dance.
Oh,
I know.
Poor old Electricity Club.
But that's already gone. You see, the venue in that one has been redeveloped into houses. Yeah. So we've got a couple of things. That was lovely.
So can you see the website kind of growing beyond just something that's supporting these campaigns?
I think it's now that we've got the basic site up, I think that's the hard work done now, really. And we've found out from people what they would like in it. I think we'll see what happens on the 8th.
Yeah.
If it's rejected, I think he'll appeal, and then we'll have to use the same mechanism
again.
Yes, do it all over again and keep going, because we are serious. But now we also have the other thing, which we did for the first one, which was in the summer, is that we set up a Gmail account, which we hadn't done before. We'd always done the classic knocking on doors, leafleting the people around. But as the tagline on the website says, which is Pontcanna Hub, but this campaign is for people who like working and live in Pontcanna. And there's a lot of people who work here. There's a lot of people who use the parks, and as Flip was saying, they like the environment. So that didn't really, you know, just knocking on doors is you know, like a more classic way of doing it. But the Gmail account has been very successful, that you could just put a Gmail out there. And if anybody wanted to see plans, because you can't actually find them on the site, the council site, little things like that, we could then email them sets of plans. But as our Gmail inbox got fuller and fuller...
That Gmail is frightening me now. I'm going to need a tutorial from you, Fran.
Or just to delete
just
something.
Completely freak me
but
out.
We can all access that remotely. Mm. So that's been a very good team resource. So that started with that. And then with this...
all three of us, except Simon doesn't know how to.
No, well, so all two of us. But it means, like, we both went to West Wales on holiday when the first plans came out. So I was accessing it and they were accessing it, and we could talk to each other and see. Mm. So that was our first mechanism. I said to Flip, we've got to see what else we can do. And then with the second one, we've done the Twitter and the website. Mm. So we sort of... it's been a reactive response to the campaign. So I think that wasn't a very short answer, I know, but I think
that's fine.
Got to where we are now with the Gmail and the site and the Twitter. And then I think if we are successful, like I said, he'll appeal. And if he's successful, there's a whole other range of issues, which is a split note, as mentioned earlier, with
which would be to do with
opening times and
the conditions that we hope that the council will put in, isn't it? So,
and there, I think, you know, endless sniping from the community might just have an effect.
And again, evidencing with photographs, this lorry wasn't gone at 1 o'clock, and there was, strangely enough, cars coming the other way.
And I just suppose charting the effect that it has locally, not just on local traffic, but the local businesses as well.
Yeah.
And we don't know what's going to happen with the Tesco's at the moment. The Ballantyne site is being used by the bike shed for 3 months.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then we've heard that a coffee chain is taking over, which would be lovely.
Chain.
But it's a coffee thing, so it's not ideal. But it's good to have the spaces filled for everybody.
Yes.
But we'll see. Yeah. And also, you never know where something else is going to happen. They'll find a space, like with there's something around the corner, Pulse. They want to turn that one into a restaurant, and that's under appeal as well. So there's all sorts of ways you can use the site, I think, for that sort of thing. And in the longer term, I think there is a place for a Pontcanna Hub style site where you put things that you'd like to know about, you know, when people can tell us if you've got a WI meeting. I think I would class it as non-commercial. That's what I would say. So they are proper community things. So like Bute Park, the Preservation Society, all the other sort of...
I think it'd be good if it was also sort of a good ideas forum as well. You know, so, okay, we know what we don't want, but...
What do we want?
What do we want, and how do we go about getting it? More to the point, I mean, I know what I want, but it requires several, millions of pounds.
You want an ironmonger, don't you?
I want a lovely ironmonger.
That's Flip's dream. We don't want to say
God, give me an ironmonger.
An ironmonger, yes. We've got very specific things we know we need.
Yeah, what I want is a kind of beautifully community, like Pulse was only actually working effectively on 10 times the scale.
Yeah. What was only, Pulse, sorry?
Pulse was a wonderful...
Whole food,
health food.
Ah, yeah.
Holistic.
And initially, with treatment rooms above and so forth, and initially it
very happy chief.
Very well, but it just kind of shrunk due to competition from the supermarkets.
Yeah, and started. Thought,
hey, organic, hey, whole food, we'll have a bit of that, you know. Yeah. And they just price everyone else out of the market, you know, they cut everyone else.
Yeah.
So Pulse went the way of all small businesses. But
area.
I sort of think that maybe the time has now come for more community-run businesses. And we had, in fact, a very sort of senior guy at a meeting about Tesco's who said he was, you know, his job was setting up community enterprises in a grown-up way, not a sort of arty-farty, the fairies hippie way.
So sustainable.
Sort of proper
professional
business, financially secure way of making a community enterprise work. You know, and I would love to see something like that, as long as it didn't involve a lot of delivery vehicles. So, you know, therein lies a slight conundrum.
So there's potential.
It was a forum for good ideas as well as moaning and groaning.
I think so.
Be very good
because we've got the platform now. I think it's it's been a residence and people who live working. What kind of site? I think we're just very tired. Let's see.
See, you've taught yourself WordPress.com in about a few weeks, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
Powerhouse.
Yeah, but that's just a visible skill that Flip and Simon have done huge amounts of analysing of the reports. They've visited supermarkets and taken photographs and written analytical reports. I mean, my thing is more visible, but we're definitely a team, and all communications that go out are definitely vetted by all three.
Endlessly vetted by all three.
Yes, God, and some
tiring
glasses of wine.
I mean, have you found that technical learning curve?
Of learning WordPress?
Yeah.
I got a site anyway, so I had a rudimentary knowledge. I hadn't set one up before, but I also felt, as Flip and Simon, a lot of people did, that we've had so many campaigns, you know, most of them we haven't won or we've only managed modifications, that we just had to do whatever we could so that if there was a Sainsbury's where I could see out of my bedroom window, then I could think, well, I've done what I've done. And I thought, learning WordPress, how hard can this be? And it is a testament to WordPress that you can, in fact, learn it quite simply if you just follow what they say you're supposed to do. And as you said, it lends itself very easily. We had a lot of great photos that people sent in. We had
The Mead ones were amazing.
Yes, yes.
Roger doing his little dance with the yellow light.
Yeah.
Yes. But that's what happens is you do start, sort of people tweet, you know, I've just seen awful congestion, shall I send it to you? Mm. So I think it's, you know, it's, the site works on lots of levels. One of it is to educate ourselves and other people on how to run a community campaign.
Mm.
Another one is to educate the council and the decision makers and say this, there is impact, and this is impact on a micro level. You can come up with these big policies, but this is what it's like now. So there is a definite hope, wish, you know, that there's lots of value to come from it. I mean, I've learnt a lot. I was surprised when we had any hits, you know, and our first
day. It's gotten really big really quickly.
Yes, it has. It has, yeah. And I think it's, you know, people like you have given us advice, people have sent us things, so it's that's been that hard to do. But as we've said all along, without our particular skill sets, it just would have gone straight, well, it would have gone through in the summer.
Mm.
And that's what you shouldn't, you know, other developments, the people living around there who don't have these skill sets, or the amount of free time, or the time, you know, it worked both ways. We had a Christmas holiday, so we had time to set the site up, but the rest of the time we're really busy. There's no way I could have invested that amount of time. But if people live in areas where they don't have that skill set, they are going to have a Sainsbury's on their doorstep, and there's nothing they can do about it, and it's not a fair fight.
It's not a fair fight at all.
Yeah. Whereas this one, we were just trying to equal it out a bit, make our side more visible. You know, and it is a huge national trend. You read all the articles about we don't want Tesco's, or even worse, this was the impact of Tesco's. Mm. But it's that tipping point. You only have that small moment of time. So
there was a little town, Berwick-on-Tweed, that's right, which we went through a year or so ago. It had been a very fine little town, and there is now, it is wretched now. It's just estate agents and takeaways and hairdressers, of course, coffee shops inevitably, but no shops. No shops where you could buy anything at all. Because, hey, guess what? There's a great new cut.
That's what they say is happening with buying, isn't it?
Okay, I'm going to have to wrap this up now. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's supposed to be 10 minutes.